Hello, hello. Welcome to Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson, a podcast about a little bit of everything. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. I'm here with my co-host, KCB, and we have another guest on this week. Her name is Emily Dixon. I'll talk about her a little more in a second, but if you're new to the show, each week we give our toasts and roasts, so a highlight and a low point of the week, and sometimes when we roast, we'll roast somebody. So let's get into it. What is your toast, KCB?
My toast actually comes from today at work.
Okay.
And it was a little slow at some point at one time of the day. And I was loading up this guy. He's like, man, you guys are always just flying around. But I've always wanted to tell you, it's like everyone that comes in or most of the people that come in, they just look and see you guys doing your thing, and they don't understand how hard it is. And it's like, I appreciate you guys so much. Like, you guys are freaking amazing, every single one of you. And like, you just kept on going, and I'm like, thank you, man, that's awesome.
That's
I appreciate
so nice.
That and he's like, you guys, like, I've operated forklift, I've been around operators my whole life, I've never seen anybody operate like you guys. I'm like, that is so cool, thank you.
I love that. It's so yeah. Nice to be appreciated.
Thank you, good sir.
That's great. Do you have a good roast?
Yeah, I roasted myself.
You roasted yourself?
I'm going to roast myself.
Oh, yeah. What is it?
So I've been waiting for my fly box.
Oh.
And
so you ordered a subscription box. A FabFitFun box.
A what?
No, I'm just kidding.
What's that?
It's a fly fish. You ordered a fly fishing.
Yes, I did.
Subscription box.
Yep. And I was so excited. so very excited. I'm like, it's going to ship Monday. And then on Monday, I looked at him like, the guy didn't bring it. And I checked my email. And I said, invalid address. And I forgot to put our apartment number down.
Shucks.
And so return to sender. I'm like, shit.
That's the worst.
Oh, it was awful.
I absolutely hate that. There was one thing that I have ordered and it just never shipped to me. It was just never. And I'm really upset about it. And I spent like $40 on candles and then they just didn't come. And disappointing.
Those same candles recently?
I bought them during quarantine. Yeah.
It's the damn COVID.
I wish it was the COVID, but I think these people just lost my order. But whatever. We're not roasting them.
I am now.
So should I start with my toast or roast? I'll start with my toast because it's a little boring and my roast is going to get me a little fired up, I think. So my toast is kind of silly, but a toast to Taylor Swift's new album and a toast to another artist I like, JJ Wild, her new album. I've been listening to both of them nonstop, and they're both very good. Betty is the best song of Taylor Swift's album, and I really like it. And I think Taylor Swift is turning over a new leaf that's far better than some of her older phases.
If you listen to Taylor Swift and this podcast, you should get with the program and switch to JJ Wild, though.
Yeah, her album is actually way better, and I know everyone loves Taylor Swift so much, and I have loved her for a long time, and then I gave up on her, and this album, though, it just makes me really sad. All of the songs are really sad, so I can only listen to it for so long, but JJ Wild's album, I'm listening to it, I'm rocking out, it's great.
Rocking out? Can you sing some of it?
No,
oh,
I'm not going to sing today.
On.
I've been singing a lot on the podcast, I feel like.
I feel like you should sing more on the podcast.
No, not today.
Oh, God. You were just singing to me.
To you, not on the recording.
Pipes are all warmed up.
Are you ready for my roast?
I'm ready.
Russell Wilson named his child Wynn. W-I-N. As in, all I do is win, win, win. No matter what. Why would you, if you're a professional athlete and you name your child Wynn, that's not cool. And it's not like he is, if he was even, you know, in the background, you know, he's like MVP. He's, oh my gosh. It's just, if Tom Brady did that, people, and Tom Brady's like the GOAT. So, but some people think Russell Wilson is the next Tom Brady. So people think, you know, he's on a similar level, I would say. Similar level.
Everyone knows if, Brett Favre is
okay, the GOAT. Get out of here with the Brett Favre. But if we, if Tom Brady named his child Wynn, I think the world would make fun of him.
I think the world's making fun of Russell Wilson,
too. I don't think they are. I haven't heard anything of the sort.
Oh, and I hear it on the radio every morning.
They are making fun of him? Yeah. Okay, good. Because it's ridiculous. And I think it's a cute name, actually. I think it's a really great name, too. If it was a girl and I was like, Winnie, that's cute. Or if his name was Winston. Winston Wilson, weird name, but...
Maybe his name is Winston Wilson.
It's
and he
not.
Just calls him Win. Have you seen the birth certificate?
I have not seen the birth certificate, but why would he said Win, whatever the middle name is, Wilson. Why wouldn't he say Winston Wilson or Winifred Wilson or
Winifred?
I don't know. But Win?
Yeah.
And I think that, and to spell it W-I-N. If he spelled it W-Y-N-N, like the last name, Win Wilson, that would be cool. That would be a cool name. But now it's Win Wilson, and oh my God. That's just so embarrassing. Can you imagine being the child of a professional athlete, first of all? A major professional athlete. And then have your name be Win.
I bet you Win Wilson's going to end up being friends with Northwest.
Oh my God.
Stupid.
I just thought Russell was better than that. I make fun of Russell Wilson a lot, but this is too much. It's too much for me.
It's over the edge.
That's my roast. It's Russell Wilson. What are you doing?
You didn't tell him to simmer down.
I wonder if anyone else thinks similarly, because I haven't heard anything from anyone else.
Your coworkers?
Yeah, they haven't said anything.
Have you said anything?
No.
Well,
because they think I'm too harsh on him.
Oh, my.
They're like, Quincy, why are you so mean about Russell Wilson? He's fine. Just because he loves the Lord. I'm like, it's not that he loves the Lord that's annoying. It's that he is just annoying about the way that he loves the Lord. I like Tim Tebow. He was all in. But you can't, you like, I don't know. It's just.
You also like Tom Brady.
Have you seen Tom Brady?
Your judgment is definitely suspect here.
We're getting. Oh my goodness. Something I wanted to say is that I think it's okay to make fun of people, especially people who it's all in good fun. I think the baby is going to have a great life, a fabulous life, and it's going to be fine. But I just think that's a silly name.
Silly name.
And it's like somebody, who was it? Gwyneth Paltrow probably named their kid Apple or something like that. And it's like, and people made fun of it. And I feel like nowadays you can't even say stuff like that because people are like, how can you say that it's the baby? I'm not making fun of the baby. I'm making fun of Russell Wilson and Ciara. They know better.
There was a musician back in the day. He named his three children Dweezil, Moon Unit, and God.
Moon Unit is
yeah,
a
Moon
fabulous
Unit was his
name.
Daughter. Yeah, his daughter was Moon Unit. Frank Zappa.
Wow. See? I wonder what the future generations... It's just weird. I just think... And Wynn is not even that weird of a name. It's a normal name. When you think of things like Winston and stuff. And I think... I already said this already. If you would have spelled it differently, it would have been a whole different story. End of discussion. It's a silly name. So this week on the podcast, I have a lovely guest. Her name is Emily Dixon, and she works in holistic health. And we had a really great conversation about intuition and learning more about your body. And it really goes well with the conversation I had on last week's episode with Amanda Murphy. Me and Amanda talked about intuitive eating, and this is a little bit more about overall health, but at the same time, it kind of goes together, listening to your gut, your intuition, and not listening to outside sources and just consuming what you should consume and just being a conscious consumer is what I meant to say there, but which I've talked about before. I think you should be very conscious of all the things you're consuming, whether that's food, whether that's the media, whether that's beer, whatever. And I think it sounds a little bit hippie-ish, but you know, we talk a lot about how functional medicine and the non-traditional medicine can go together really well, and it's important to have a balance. So not all in on one, not all in on the other, they can work together. So that's what we talk about. We also talk about journaling, which I've been really into lately, so take some notes on that. And last thing I wanted to say is if you have not joined yet, which no one has, it's brand new, join the Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com and you search Pish Posh Podcast, or it's patreon.com/pishposhpod, say that 10 times fast, but there is a bonus podcast episode on there, and I'm planning on doing a little bonus episode on the Patreon once a month. And what else is on there?
Great, obviously.
There'll be more, too. So just check it out. There's some good stuff on there. And I'm planning on doing one bonus episode on there once a month. And maybe more if more people join in, listen in. And good things are coming. We're moving this weekend, sort of, kind of. But I'm really excited about.
Me too.
It doesn't feel real still. Do you think it feels real now? Even though everything's boxed up, I don't feel like it feels real.
It's starting to, because I have to go there and make sure that the work truck will fit through and all that stuff.
Yeah, I told you to do that 2 days ago.
Yeah, I didn't want to.
Well, stay tuned for all of that. And in the coming weeks, we're going to have even more interviews with some really great people. But enjoy my conversation with Emily. And yeah, we'll be right back with that interview. I don't want to forget this because I really want to make this a recurring segment on the podcast. So I am going to give you my recommended podcast episode to listen to for the week. And that is this week's episode of the BurtCast with Burt Kreischer. And I've talked about his podcast before, but he's a stand-up comedian. He's really great. But it's a very interesting interview. I will warn you, his dog literally just died last week, and him and his wife do the intro of his podcast each week, kind of like how we do our little intro together, and then he goes into an interview. So him and his wife did the intro to the episode, and it made me tear up because he was so sad about his dog, and it was really upsetting. But that's not why you should listen to the episode. It's really interesting how he talks about the ability of certain businesses and people in the comedy business to pivot and readjust during the quarantine and during this kind of recession style period. And I think we learn a lot about companies who are created out of recessions. And this happened a lot with the 08 recession, but now in this one, I feel like there hasn't been a lot of ingenuity and creativity. I have seen a lot more people just waiting for it to be over. And the way that Burt has looked at comedy versus the way some other people have been looking at comedy during this time was really interesting. I'm a big stand-up comedy fan, and I love learning about the backside of that business. So if you're interested in that, or if you're interested in really business at all, entertainment business, really, I'm in the entertainment business, you could say. So not just with this podcast, with my actual job, but so it's just really interesting to hear about. He's doing drive-in stand-up comedy, and I would love to go to a drive-in stand-up comedy show, but our governor has forbid live entertainment for now. So we'll see if that ever gets lifted. Anyways, so listen to that episode. It's the most recent episode of the BurtCast, and it's a great one. I really like all of his interviews. They're really good. I was thinking about listening to Joe Rogan's most recent episode. Not the most recent, because he does like 10 a week. Whoops. But Joe Rogan interviewed Post Malone this week. And I thought about listening to it, because I kind of like Post Malone. I don't love him, but I'd like to learn more about him. But guess how long it was?
17 hours.
No, give me a realistic guess how long you think it was.
Three, four.
It was 4 hours. I don't think I could listen to 4 hours of
Joe and Post Malone talking.
Yeah. No. So if anyone listened to that one and there's good stuff, let me know and maybe I'll listen to it. But yeah. The one I would suggest this week is the BurtCast. And Burt was also the co-host on Fighter and the Kid this week. And it was good. But I like when Fighter and the Kid has guests. So those are two podcasts with the same guy. If you're interested in Burt Kreischer, definitely listen to his podcast. You've probably seen his Netflix special. And if you haven't, watch his Netflix special. And I wish I was getting paid for this advertisement for him, but I'm not. So this is your mid-episode break with a suggestion of another podcast to listen to. And right after this, we'll get into an interview of my own. Welcome to the podcast, Emily from Primetime Healing Therapies. Welcome to the podcast, Emily. How are you doing today?
Thank you. I am great. How are you?
I'm great. I am so excited to get into this. I actually last week had somebody on the podcast and we were talking about intuitive eating, and this is talking about intuitive overall health and listening to your body even more. And I'm glad to just continue this conversation from another side of things. And I think your story is really interesting, how you got into this field and how you want to share your knowledge with other people. So I'm just really excited about it. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, your career, and anything else you want to share with us?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am from Seattle, Washington. I have moved around quite a bit to Colorado, Texas, and now I am right outside of Boise, Idaho, in a little town called Eagle. And I've had a really interesting journey. I do a bunch of different things, actually, in terms of career. I don't know if you follow Marie Forleo, but she has this word she calls multi-passionate. And when I heard that word, I thought, oh my gosh, that's what I am. So
Marie Forleo is one of my absolute favorites. Her book, Everything is Figure Outable, that's my book of last year, and I recommend it to everyone. So
yes, it's awesome. I love that you know her. My background's actually in animal health and animal nutrition. So I do some consulting and content marketing for animal health companies. And I was down in Texas working in the animal health industry after I did my master's down there. And I got really sick. I had some really crazy things happen, which I'm sure we'll get into later, but that pushed me down this path of, okay, what's going on? I really have to figure this out. And so when I started, I'm a researcher. So when I started researching all these different things, I thought, oh my gosh, people don't know this stuff. So I became a certified health coach as well. I just finished that in January of this year. So I do some health coaching as well. So I do a variety of stuff, but all in the health industry.
And you do a lot of kind of consulting, one-on-one, getting to know kind of the root cause of what's going on with people when they're not feeling 100%.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So can you tell us a little bit about your health journey and how you got to this place you're at now? Because you kind of got the runaround in multiple different ways. So tell us about that, and then how kind of you and your consulting try to help people not have to go through all that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have never had health issues. Growing up, I was a super healthy kid. You know, I had some sensitive skin and just kind of weird things like that. But no one was really talking about that when I was a kid. Like, it was just, you know, okay, you have some eczema. Mm-hmm. So when I was 22, I was living in Colorado at the time. I had just finished college. And I started having these really bizarre symptoms. Like, I was bloated all the time, and my stomach was, I was just in a lot of pain, and I couldn't eat anything. And it was the first time I'd ever dealt with something like that. So I truly had no idea what to do. I had a day where I was in excruciating pain and I was doubled over and couldn't walk. And it was just this crazy deal. So I started working with a naturopath who diagnosed me with celiac disease. And that was kind of my intro into the world of autoimmune conditions. And I had a bunch of other related kind of gut issues that go along with a celiac diagnosis. And when you have GI distress going on, like SIBO and food sensitivities and the whole thing. So anyways, I got that kind of figured out, I thought, which celiac, if anyone does not know, is your body basically attacks gluten when you eat it, which then attacks you. So it's not a good deal. So you really have to obviously totally change your lifestyle and diet to go completely gluten-free. And that's that's definitely a bigger trend now, even, 7 years later. But at the time I was kind of like, I don't eat gluten very much, and of course I was. It's in everything. it's even in like makeup and shampoo. It's crazy. When you start looking for it, it's everywhere. But anyways, so I kind of got the gluten thing under control and I was feeling pretty good. And around the same time I moved to Texas, was doing pretty well. And then about a year into my time in Texas, I started just not feeling great, had low energy. And I just thought, well, I'm stressed, so I didn't think anything of it. And another year went by and it was really bad. It had gotten to like, I couldn't walk again. And I was always tired. I just could not figure out what was going on. I had a bunch of really weird symptoms. And so I started working with a functional medicine doctor in Texas, and she diagnosed me with a bunch of different things like Hashimoto's and mold illness. And just, kind of was this whole thing. So long story short, I'm way better now. I've totally changed my lifestyle. I moved across the country to a drier place. I've changed my work habits, my eating habits, my lifestyle habits, and I really attribute all of that to my healing, but that's a long answer. But it was a long journey for sure.
Right. Isn't basically everyone allergic to mold, but it's, it's more for certain people.
Totally. And everyone, that's what I tell people exactly. Like, mold is not good for anyone. Mm-hmm. There's some people who have a genetic predisposition to this illness called chronic inflammatory response syndrome, which is basically mold illness. And it's in the same category as Lyme's disease. It's in this category of biotoxin illness. So some people are just more susceptible to that stuff because of their genes. But you're right. No one should be living in molds or working in molds. And unfortunately, the statistics on how many buildings are water damaged is crazy high.
Yeah. I bet growing up in a place like Seattle, and, I think a lot of people in Washington, and a lot of my listeners are from Washington, but it's just, you don't think about it, but then it's there. And then you can have these symptoms and reactions, and it's just, you're not even thinking about it being the issue. You're like, oh, maybe I'm just sick or something else, but it's like literally in your house. You're living with it every day sometimes. So I think it's important to think about.
Yeah. And it's just, it's exactly that, like we're exposed to viruses, hello, COVID, but bacteria, mold, we're exposed to crazy amounts of toxins just every single day. And I think that your body just becomes so overwhelmed sometimes. Mm-hmm. And if you're make your tox pathways just a little bit less optimal. what you have to focus on is optimizing those pathways so that you can live in the world. That's just the world we live in a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So you made a lot of habit changes to your diet, to where you live. And like you said, things like shampoo and makeup, I'm sure you pay more attention to that than the average Joe. So those are kind of all pieces of this holistic habits that you make. But sometimes when people think holistic health, they kind of think witch doctor, or, you know, you just
totally,
you know, think, I don't, this is, I know that there are pros and cons to everything you do. And, you know, some people are totally against the holistic health because they're not seeing kind of the big picture, and some things go hand in hand with traditional medicine. So can you kind of talk about what you think the balance is between our traditional medicine and then holistic health, and kind of weaving those together?
Totally. That's such a good question. And I totally agree with you. I kind of hesitate to use the word holistic sometimes because it just has a connotation. I'm not sure why, but it does. Yeah. Yes. So I always tell people, absolutely see a regular Western traditional doctor, right? I'm not against medication. Mm-hmm. I'm not against antibiotics. They think all those things are super necessary. And obviously they're progress, right? Like mm-hmm. that's, our society is here because of some of those things. I think what the model that I really like is functional medicine, which is basically the combination of a doctor, an MD, but who also takes a whole body approach. So as a health coach myself, what I really want to know is not so much what's your diagnosis, but I want to know what's going on for you with your diet and your lifestyle and all these habits, and how are you feeling about all of these things? And not in like a shrinky, you know, counseling mm-hmm. kind of way, but... You know, I really believe that everything is energy. I'm a huge student of like quantum physics, and I just love that stuff. But at a cellular level, like, we're all energy. And so the ways that we talk to ourselves, the way that we think, all these things are affecting our cells. And sometimes people get really put off by that. My example, I always tell them, give them, is the placebo effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which you know, is real.
That's real. It's been studied. And I love science, you know, like mm-hmm. I'm a researcher at heart. But the placebo effect proves that, like, what you think affects how your body reacts to stuff. And so that's the part that I think sometimes is missing in traditional Western medicine, is just that other component of, you know, we can't be in this paradigm of like, let's just give people medication to fix stuff, because that doesn't always work. And it, you know, you need the other pieces to see real success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On your website, you say everything in your life, from your finances to your relationships to your spirituality, is affecting your health on a cellular level. And that's kind of what you just mentioned there. Like, everything mm-hmm. is together. And you said there are no coincidences. Can you kind of talk about that a little bit more? Like, how does it all go together? Because, I mean, you kind of just mentioned it, but a little bit more.
Yeah, I'll give you an example from my own life.
Yes, love that.
Okay, perfect. So I got diagnosed with all these autoimmune conditions, right? And autoimmune is basically your body is attacking itself. Your immune system is attacking your body, all of the tissues in your body. And so when I really dove into some of this like energy medicine and just figuring out how it's all connected, I started to realize, I thought, oh my gosh, I have been attacking myself with my thoughts for as long as I can remember. And I think a lot of women do that. That's not a rare thing. And when you look at autoimmune disease, it affects 80% of women. Or no, right. I'm sorry. 80% of autoimmune disease affects women. There we go. So when I look at that statistic, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I don't think that's a coincidence. I think women are really hard on themselves. And so in turn, your body listens to that and attacks yourself physically. Does that kind of make sense?
Definitely. Yeah.
That's what I mean by that. Just an example from my own life.
Yeah. So what are some things that you do overall to kind of combat those, you know, negative thoughts that are, you know, you don't want your mind to be attacking your body especially when your body is already attacking your own body. What are some what are some things you do for your mind, for relationships, that you try to keep your mental state in a healthy place?
Yeah, so this this is such a good question. First of all, for relationships, I think that you love people the way you love yourself. And so I really believe that if you're going to bring your best self forward to relationships or in any respect, like to your coworkers, to your loved ones, to your significant others, whatever, you have to be working on yourself. That's the best thing you could be doing for those relationships. Me personally, it's been a journey, and I'm, it's still a journey. Obviously I'm still in my 20s, but, I think the best thing that I do for my mindset is I'm constantly filling myself up with positive things. So, and that goes anywhere, you know, like on social media, I only follow people who are positive. If you're not positive or there's just negative vibes going on, I don't, it's not like I'm just like defriending you. I just, you know, take it off my feed. I just don't want to see it. I read tons of books. I know you read a lot of books too, but I'm constantly learning and trying to improve my brain that way. And I use affirmations. I mean, I just think that the more you fill yourself up with positive things, you're kind of retraining your brain, because our society really kind of conditions us to think negatively, I think. You know, you turn on the news. I don't watch the news, but you turn on the news. I completely avoid it, which is, you know,
sometimes I think that avoiding the news can be bad because you're almost being ignorant or, you know, avoiding things that are important. But everything on the news and mainstream media is so negative. So I try to, if I am consuming what's going on in the world, I'll do it from not mainstream, secondary source. So
totally.
And then you take everything like that with a grain of salt, because, you know, it's coming from farther away.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I totally, that's what I do too. So yeah, I think that's the biggest thing I do, is just I'm constantly filling myself up with positive things, and I'm really conscious of what I consume. I think we're all just, like, in America in general, over consuming things, you know, and that's just kind of part of our lives. But I think you should think about, like, if you are over consuming, which you probably are, I mean, I am too. How, like, what percentage of that is positive, and can it be more positive? And I think for all of us, it can always be more positive. So that's kind of what, that's the biggest thing I do, I think.
I love that. I am big on telling people to be conscious consumers, and not just the money that you spend, but everything that you're taking in. Because like you said, we're consuming so much all the time, especially with social media. It's everyone is looking at a screen literally, probably, I was going to say literally 24/7, but no, but you know what?
But close to it. Yeah. Totally. And it all, like, it all, you know, our brain takes all of this stuff in, and depending on what you're taking in, that's affecting your subconscious mind, which we know affects everything. So, you know, I think that's a huge piece that people are missing sometimes. You can say one thing like, oh, I want to eat healthier, whatever. But if your subconscious mind is telling you, well, no, no one else is eating healthier, that's going to be really hard, you know, whatever it is, you're probably not going to eat healthier, and then you're going to get frustrated because you feel like you can't reach your goals. And it's just this whole cyclical, you know, perpetuating thing. But
right. So if somebody books a consultation with you, what are some things that you would be going over?
Yeah. So we, when I start, I go over a lot of their health history and what's going on. I have a wealth wheel, which basically looks at 12 areas of someone's life, and they rate them. And I think that's a real eye opener for people, because there's things on this wheel like joy, creativity, finances. And usually they look at me and they're like, aren't you a health coach? You know, why is this stuff on here? But it's really cool to see how people kind of understand that as we move through the program. how it's all related. And then I spend a lot of time at the beginning on goals. And I really ask people to dream big. And then we work backwards, like, you know, from your long-term goals, what do you need to do in a year? And what do you need to do in 6 months? So we spend a lot of time on that. And going over values is huge. Mm-hmm. So we do kind of a lot of different things, but that's what we do first.
I love it. You're using so many of like my buzzwords, you know, goals, values. That's something big that we talk about a lot in this podcast is goal setting, checking in on them, being realistic about them, but also, you know, pushing yourself a little bit farther than your comfort zone. So I love all of that and combining it all together.
Yeah, thank you.
I did want to know a little bit about kind of your history with working with animals and how that has influenced what you do, and if you offer any services that have to do with animals now. I just think that's really interesting. So
yeah. So I've been riding horses since I was 5 years old, kind of by a fluke. I fell into it, but loved it. And it's just been a huge part of my life. So, you know, it's so funny that you asked that, cause I get asked that a lot, actually. Before my first major in college was special education, because mm-hmm. I was really into the use of horses for therapeutic purposes and helping mm-hmm. kids with special needs and disabled adults and all of that. And then I kind of shifted gears, but that's always been in the back of my mind. And I think as my business progresses, it might add that component. Mm-hmm. I learned a fact the other day that horses have a heart that has an electromagnetic field 5 times greater than ours. And wow. So that really affects electromagnetics is a whole thing, but that really affects your cellular health. So they attribute that to why sometimes in the presence of horses, people just feel really peaceful and healthy and all of that. So when I read that, I was like, wow, this is a huge opportunity. This could really help a lot of people. So I think there's definitely a place for that. We'll just have to see where it goes.
Emily, we were meant to meet.
We were?
Yes. I have 3 brothers. One of my brothers does rodeo, and another one of my brothers is special needs. And so I have always been very interested in the use of, I think it's really interesting overall in the special needs and special education field, animals in general, but especially horses. I know that they can be very helpful. And I just think that's so interesting. And the people who help and teach in the special education field are angels on earth. But I think that is really similar to what you do, looking at health overall, and then just, you know, seeing what you can do, these little things and making habits that can affect long term. So I definitely think if that is something that you love, and if you can, you know, merge those two things together, I think that is going to become even more and more mainstream, is using animals in that way.
Totally.
It's just, you know, even we've seen it now with everyone saying that they have an emotional support animal. Yeah. That's a whole nother thing, but they really do help. So
they totally do. I tell people that all the time. I got a dog about a year before I really had this major health crisis in Texas. And I tell people all the time, that was one of the biggest blessings, because I was stuck at home alone. My family was in Washington, you know, obviously I had friends and stuff, but like the dog, you know, was a huge part of my healing. I tell people that all the time, like that, you know, was not a coincidence that I got her. Mm-hmm. They're huge animals for that.
So what do you think would be the first step for somebody who wants to kind of just start thinking about their health in the way that you think about health?
Ooh, wow, that's a good question.
I know I didn't prep you for that one, so.
No, it's okay. It's okay. So I'm really big into this idea of intuitive health. And I think that scares people a little bit too, kind of like the word holistic. Mm-hmm. But I really believe that everything that we need for life, for healing, for anything is already within us. Mm-hmm. And so I really try to teach people how to tap into their intuition and listen to their gut and all of that. So if someone is really kind of stuck or feeling like, oh my God, what should I do? I'm overwhelmed, but I know I want to make a shift. I feel like my first step or suggestion would be spend 10 minutes a day breathing, meditating. If the word meditating freaks you out, just spend 10 minutes breathing. Mm-hmm. That would be my first step, because when you slow down enough, you can start to listen to the whispers, and you can start to listen to your gut. We usually just aren't slowing down long enough to even hear what guidance we're getting. Mm-hmm. So that would be my first step. I know it freaks people out. So if you can only do 5 minutes of breathing, 2 minutes, whatever it is, just start somewhere with that. And really commit to it and just see where it takes you. I think it will surprise you.
Right. I think it is definitely hard for certain people. I'm a big overthinker, you know, and I've been definitely trying to listen to my gut more, listen to intuition. And it's not even that so much. It's sometimes like, oh, I know this is what I want, but then I second guess it like 10 times. So totally. Can you give any examples of a time when you listened to your intuition and it paid off and it was the right move?
Yeah. I think, gosh, there's so many good examples.
You can give us more than one. Yeah. Because I think hearing examples is so good, because then you're actually, you know, okay, it can work.
Yeah. I'll give you a recent one. So recently I had an opportunity to kind of start working with a naturopath in town, just as a kind of as a health coach, you know, mm-hmm. part-time kind of thing. And I was like, oh, that would be fun, you know, whatever. So I went and met her, super nice woman, all of that. I came home and we were kind of starting to get into the scheduling and all of that, how it was really going to work, the pay and all of that. And it wasn't exactly what I was hoping for in terms of all the logistics. Mm-hmm. But I thought, well, I can make it work. It would be a good experience, whatever, right? So I went to bed that night and I woke up the next morning, and I'm a morning person. So I got up early, did all my stuff, and I'm sitting here and I was like, oh my God, I can't do this. And my logical brain was really like, no, you should do it, blah, blah, blah. And I kind of felt myself constricting, and I started to feel it in my gut. Like mm-hmm. my stomach started to get upset, and I thought, okay, I really have to listen. I've spent all this time in this health journey not listening. So I really need to listen. So I emailed her and said, hey, you know, this is not going to work. And that was a couple weeks ago. And, you know, that was hard for me. I'm a people pleaser. So to say no and to say, hey, I don't know if this is really going to work for me is always a challenge for right. me. But I thought, no, this is right. Like, this is what my gut is telling me. And so I just continued on my way, and a week later, you know, my content marketing animal health business is growing. And so I got a new client, and I was like, okay, this is why, you know, I wasn't supposed to do this other thing. So sometimes you don't have immediate results. Like, you know, right. that happened pretty quick. Sometimes it's not like instantly, you know why your intuition was telling you that. I've had stuff where like 5 years later, I'm like, oh, wow, I thought about this 5 years ago and here it is. Or, you know, wow, I really understand now why that happened that way. But I think, you know, you're right. A lot of people, it's super easy to second guess and kind of talk yourself out of it. I think the more that you trust yourself and the more that you kind of tap into breathing and just being quiet for a couple minutes, you know, I think intuition is a muscle like anything else. Like you do have to get used to it. I have not always been this good at using my intuition.
Definitely but, a muscle. I say everything's a muscle. I'm like,
totally.
All these different habits. I'm like, it's like a muscle. The more you use it, the better it gets. But it's like, I say that about everything, but it's true. Like, definitely.
Yeah. And, you know, there's some people who are like, no, I'm just not intuitive. And everyone's intuitive. That's a thing. Everyone has that ability. It's just that you just have to tap back into it. But when you came into the world, you had it. So.
Right. It's there.
Yeah, it's totally there. You just have to trust yourself and, you know, not get overly obsessed with your logical mind.
So much good stuff. I love it. I love the intuition piece of it. Do you, just because I've been into this recently, do you do any journaling? Is that something, a part of your daily routine?
Yes. Yes, I'm actually writing a blog post about this right now. But yeah, I journal every morning. I journal a lot of different, like I have a little journal routine. I think what I started doing recently, which this is a good segue to the intuition topic, but I saw this somewhere, gosh, I can't remember where I saw it. But basically every morning I write down, what would you have me know today? And for me, that's to my guides, angels, God, the universe, whatever you want to call it, right? Mm-hmm. So I write down, what would you have me know today? And then I just write whatever they would have me know. And
interesting. I like that prompt.
Yeah, it's really cool. I have to tell you that the more I'm doing it, like the first couple times I did it, I thought, is this for real? You know, is this mm-hmm. me or is this my higher self? That kind of thing. But you just have to trust whatever comes out because that's what you're supposed to know. And the more that you do it, the more you will feel like you're not even the one writing it. Mm-hmm. Now when I do it, it's like my handwriting changes. It's as if I'm not even the one with the pen in my hand. So I highly suggest that. Like, again, it takes, you know, 10 minutes tops. Mm-hmm. You don't have to write for hours. It's just a page. Like, what would you have me know today? And it's really comforting for me. And it's always the guidance that I need.
I love that. I really love that prompt. I have recently started journaling every morning and just making it more of a habit. I've done it before. I think everyone, you know,
totally.
It's so different too, because sometimes you think of journaling and you think of middle school or writing your diary, but it's such a good habit to have. And I recently saw something and I think it said, I don't know what I think until I write. And so then sometimes I'm like, oh, I can't even decipher what my head is trying to tell me. And then I write it down. I'm like, oh, okay. And so I think that's really similar to the prompt that you were saying. What would you have me know today? Is that the prompt?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. What would you have me know today? And you can even, you know, some mornings when I'm really struggling with like a specific question, like mm-hmm. whatever it is, you know, should I go on this trip? Should I mm-hmm. pursue this client? Should I pursue this job? Whatever it is. I mean, you can get specific and just write it down and then say, what would you have me know about that? And see what comes up.
And I like to, because sometimes this view of whether it's your intuition or listening to your gut or anything like that, sometimes it seems almost a little like woo-woo is something
totally
and then, you know, sometimes they're like, no, you should pray about it, or you should do this, and you know, this prompt that you're giving can work for whatever your thought process is. If you believe in God and you're like, okay God, what do you want me to know today? If you don't believe in God and you're like, what does the universe want me to know today? Like, whatever it is, it can work for you. So I really like that one.
Yeah, good. I'm glad.
I think those are all the questions I really have for you, but I also want to know kind of what is a big goal that you have for the rest of 2020, even though 2020 has been interesting to say the least.
Yeah, totally. So I'm a goal person. I have a lot of goals. One of my like more fun goals this year, which I'm super enjoying, was to read at least 2 books a month. Mm-hmm. And I've never been like, I mean, I like reading, but I've never had a goal like that. So that's a new kind of goal for me. And it's been so fun and I love it. So
good.
I'm keeping a list of all the books I've read this year. And it's really cool to just like watch my own growth even reading them, if that makes sense.
Yes, that's such a good habit to have. I mean, my listeners, I think they get annoyed with me telling them how often I tell them to read because I love it so much. And my goal for this year was 25 books. So it's similar, but I kind of do like that you broke it up into 2 books a month because sometimes I'll like binge an author or a series and then I will take a longer break, but keeping yourself consistent month to month is good, especially if you haven't been doing it in a while, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So that's one of my goals this year.
One more question, and this is this might stump you, so hopefully not, because I asked this question to my boyfriend when I had him on as a guest. It was kind of funny, but what is something, and it doesn't have to be recent, it's just something that you have done that makes you feel successful?
Oh, wow.
It's kind of a tough question, and I realize that it's a question I really like because it's hard for people to say something that they've accomplished to feel proud of themselves or anything like that. So,
yeah, no, you're so right about that, and I definitely have a hard time with that. I think recently what makes me feel successful is that on Monday morning I'm super excited to get up and start working. And that I pretty much have that same energy all week. Like, I just love what I'm doing. So to me, that's what's most successful to me right now.
I love that. What more could you want than that? Especially.
Yeah. Joy.
Like, yes. It's just feeling happy to work. I mean, that's great.
Yeah.
Totally. I love it. So tell everyone where they can find you on social media, your website, all the things.
Okay, all the things. My website is primetimetherapies.com. And I'm on Instagram most of the time. That's my favorite. So I'm at Emily Claire, Claire Dixon, Dickson, at Emily Claire Dixon on Instagram.
Yes. And if you're looking for her website, type in Primetime Therapies, not Emily Dixon, because then everything from Emily Dickinson pops up. And I'm like, no, that's not what I wanted.
I know. I've asked my parents, like, did you guys think about that when you named me? And they didn't. So here we are.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you so much for being a guest. I loved talking to you and I love what you're doing. So keep it up. Keep helping people. Just keep it up.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. This was super fun.
Thank you for listening to Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. You can listen to the podcast and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, listen on Spotify and wherever podcasts are found, and follow the pod on Instagram at Pish Posh Pod to stay up to date on all of our great content. Check it out.